We are continuing our series on the gospel, and we're again looking at it as it pertains to quote unquote evangelism. When we go out and give it to other folks, we want to make sure that we understand what this gospel is. I won't be labor the point on too long in review, but again, just quickly blowing through what it isn't as a reminder. It isn't that you can come to Jesus and your life suddenly has meaning and purpose. You can have peace in your soul. God has a wonderful plan for your life. You can have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have your sins forgiven. Even the plan of salvation is not, and even your testimony, as great and as true as it may be, it is still not the gospel. And what the reason, again, this is rerun, but the reason that we need to understand that very clearly and succinctly is because the gospel is the power of God. Mm-hmm. And all those other things, while they may be true and even beneficial, they're not the gospel. In other words, the power of God is not on that to bring about salvation. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And what is the gospel? The gospel is the proclamation, the good news, the good announcement, the good message of the person and work of Jesus Christ, and how the benefits of that work can be applied to our lives by faith. And so we've gone over that when we talk about the work of Christ, his miraculous virgin birth, his sinless life, his substitutionary sacrificial death, his miraculous resurrection after 3 days in the grave, his ascension into heaven, and his subsequent return, known as the second coming, to rule and reign forevermore. We said that this gospel belongs to God. It's God's gospel. 1 Thessalonians 2:9, the gospel of God. Not only is it the gospel of God, but it's the gospel concerning the good news concerning our salvation. Ephesians 1:13, it is the message of truth, comma, the gospel of our salvation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. We also said that this gospel was spoken of by the prophets in the Old Testament. We saw in Matthew 1:22, and it said that, and all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. There's several other scriptures talking about how the Lord spoke that gospel through the prophets. Then we recognize and found in scripture that there is only one gospel. Apostle Paul was hardcore on that even if an angel came from heaven preaching another gospel, let him be accursed. There's only one gospel. Now, we said basically what the gospel is, but we haven't gotten to what the good news of the gospel is. We haven't gotten there yet. And before we get to the good news, we need to talk about what? Nobody's listening. We need to talk about the bad news. Wake up. What's going down? Talk about the bad news. We found out all mankind has sinned. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. I want to fill in a little bit here. Last week we jumped to Genesis 3, where the actual sin was committed. And verse 6, so when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was the light to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, gave it to her husband who was with her, and he did eat. But let's go back to Genesis 2. Let's go back to Genesis 2, verse 15. And it reads, then the Lord God took the man, Adam, put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. Isn't that something? There was no sin. Everything was perfect. But God, even in a perfect world, still required work. Mm-hmm. You could have had it already made up and just sit around, my son, and just do nothing. But it was still work. Why? Because work glorifies God. And then what work produces glorifies God. What was he do to the ground? He was to cultivate it and keep it. Just to cultivate and keep it, it was going to produce. That glorifies God. Him working the ground and the ground producing all glorifies God. Verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die." Literal Hebrew is dying, you will die. Emphasizing death is imminent, certain, for sure. We read too fast. How did they know what death was? Right, this was pre-sin. How did they know what death was? I'm not saying I have the answer, but it would be useless to warn them about with something they have no idea what it is. So they had an idea what it was. Had to. Or else the warning is, it's not even fair. You know, he's just. He's faithful and just. Yeah. So they had to know it. Because he warned them, in the day you eat, you will surely die. Dying, you will die. In the day that they eat thereof, that's the day that sin, they will sin, right? If you eat of the fruit, you disobey the commandment. And death follows. Listen to this comment here. After eating of the tree, Adam sinned and was debarred. He was immediately arraigned, tried, and condemned to death. Was found guilty of it because, and became obnoxious to it, death. And death at once began to work in him. Sin sowed the seeds of it meaning in his body. And a train of miseries, afflictions, and diseases began to appear, which at length issued in death. What is it saying there? Physical death happened over time. But he began to die that day. Commentator goes on to say, moreover, a spiritual death immediately ensued. Physical death took time. Spiritual death was immediate. Spiritual death would also include the death of his morals. Why do you say that? Because Genesis 6 and 5 says that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. So when he died spiritually, his morality died with it. And it was immediate. Spiritual death immediately ensued. He lost his original righteousness in which he was created. The image of God in him was deformed. The powers and faculties of his soul were corrupted. And he became dead in sins and trespasses. That's Ephesians 2, 1 and 5. We were, you who were dead in your trespasses and sins. The consequence of which was eternal death, eternal separation from God. And man would have continuously been eternally separated from God had it not been for the, as he says here, the interposition of a Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Who engaged to make satisfaction to law and justice. Thank God. The Savior came and satisfy the law and justice of God. He finishes by saying, this eternal death was passed on from Adam to all his posterity, all the seed that came after him. That's Romans 5:12, right? Through one man, Adam's sin, and death, because of sin, and so death is passed upon all mankind for all of sin. And the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, even eternal death. Putting it in the Jewish vernacular, so the Jews interpret this of death both in this world and in the world to come. That's your physical and natural death, and in the world to come, eternal death. In, not necessarily a quote, but in summary, sin is no joke. All that is bad news. When we say man, we're talking about human beings, mankind. The human race fell into sin because of Adam's sin. And at this point, man is eternally lost. That's why the good news is not so good and the grace isn't so amazing, because we don't know how bad the bad news is and how sinful sin is. So we're no longer... We just hear, we sing all these songs about his blood was shed and the cross and all that. We sitting there like mannequins. And we don't understand the bad news, how bad it was. Let's slow it down. When Adam ate of that fruit, all of humanity was lost. At that point, we were eternally separated from God. Eternal damnation was our reward, for the wages of sin is death. Even here in that verse, we hear it so many times, so much. It just don't mean much. But it's wages of sin is eternal death. But the gift of God is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Gift of life, rather, is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, eternal death. And the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. You're going to die physically, eventually, and you'll die instantly spiritually. And we talked about death being separation. You will be instantly, immediately separated from me. And sure enough, when God came to talk to them as was his custom, what did Adam do? They ran, and Eve, they ran and hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. That had never happened. That's why we got to confess our sins. Then he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Only after we confess our sins. Homo logeo is the compound Greek word. Homo, same. Logeo, words. Same words. Put it together means, we would say in our vernacular, means to agree with. You agree with God. So you just can't call, oh, well, that's a sin, but... It ain't really. Well, you're not that's not a confession, because that doesn't agree with God. We read too fast. We talk too fast. Since that word, and I rarely hear that word broken down, like if we confess, if you don't break it down and keep it in the original language, then what you'll do is you'll just bring it into our 21st century Western civilized meaning. And it's not that at all. This is not your the sweatbox detectives grilling a suspect and they confess to the crime. No, this is to agree with God. God, you say this is a sin. I'm saying this is a sin. I agree with you. This is a sin. So true confession leads to true repentance. So he is saying, when you confess your sin, then and only then, he is faithful and just to forgive you of that sin. Now this is talking about to the believer. We're not talking about, don't get it confused. We're not talking about works righteousness. This is one who our sins have been permanently removed because of the blood of Jesus. 1 John 1 and 7, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Yes, that's done. But the sin, so you, we are eternally saved from hell. The threat of eternal damnation has been completely removed, but we still sin on a daily down here on this earth. And those still have to be dealt with. That's why there's, if you reap, you reap what you sow. So if you're still down there sinning and sowing sin, you're going to have a hard time. But there will never be a final removal or reversal of what the blood has done. Does that make sense? No sin is going to reverse the blood. And thank you, Jesus. But you do pay for the sins that you commit after you have been born again. You do pay for those. It does cause separation from God. He just won't be eternally separated. It may even cause your physical death. It just won't be a eternal, a spiritual eternal death. Yeah. All of that is bad news. We read, we won't read over again, but we just read it. Eve, she fell for the lust of her flesh. She saw the food, the tree was good for food. She lusted the eyes, took over the light to the eyes. Pride and possession, she's going to have some wisdom. The wisdom of God. And be like God. The thing that she was going to take pride in was her status. Is being like God, and secondly, having the wisdom of God. And she chose in her heart to follow the lust of her flesh and the lust of her eyes and the pride in her possessions. She sinned before she physically manifested herself, before she acted outwardly. Does that make sense? Because remember again that it was when she ate, it was just the outward manifestation of her inward sin of rebellion. You can put a few sins on there. Lack of faith. She didn't trust God. She told the Satan what God said. So she knew. But she chose not to trust him. So that took over. And then Adam sinned. And his sin then was imputed to us. That means that God... When Adam sinned, we sinned right along with him. We're done with all about that don't seem fair and all that. You say that for the next time. That's, in fact, don't even save it. Throw that in the garbage immediately. Because that does nothing to you. It happened. Like I said, we're not fussing when Jesus' righteousness is imputed to us. We're glad on that part. So God then, at this point, God looked at us. And viewed us as sinners, just like he viewed Adam. God counted us as having sinned right along with Adam. That's Romans 5:12. Just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sin. King James had the word have. No, all sin. Remember aorist tense, the Greek? A past completed act. Historical act. It took place as a fact. Done. Sit in it. Instead of being blaming God, I don't get in all this. Sit in it. We were guilty. That's the bad news. We miss out on the bad news trying to figure things out. It happened. We were sinners. All sin. All worthy of death. Eternal death. And that was the state of every single human being. The news is very bad. Thank you, sir. And as a result of Adam's sin and us being imputed, all have sinned. Romans 3:23. All have sinned. Mm-hmm. We mentioned the phrase natural generation. Anybody remember what that is? Okay. Natural generation is when a human being is generated or born through natural means, a mother and a father. Okay? You got that? Mm-hmm. That's natural generation. So whenever any person is born of natural generation, they're going to carry the sin nature. Mm-hmm. It's going to be passed on through the man, through the male, through the seed of the man. Mm-hmm. And as it is fertilized to the woman, and then out comes the baby. And that's where David is saying, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Yes, my mother and father were sinners. Not because they sinned, because they are. That's the result of the inherited sin from Adam. Do you see how that fits in there? In sin. All right. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Won't be before you long. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 1. Is this making sense to anybody in the building? All right. Thank you. Up and down if you have it, please. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And you were somewhat dead. Almost dead. Still got a heartbeat. It was a faint heartbeat. Come on, now give me a break. You in ICU. I mean, that's close. The voice from the back said, dead. Yeah, we were in the morgue. We went over this a bunch of times. I told you how this is taught. Folks don't like dead. They want almost dead. They know it says dead. They got you in ICU. They got you drowning. But you got that hand up. Thank God for the accuracy of Jesus Christ and that life preserver, because he could hit that wrist. You grab it. No, dead in your trespasses and sins. Why? Because we sinned in Adam. Look at verse 5. If you don't understand verse 1, he repeats it. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive. How were we dead? What was dead about us? Our spirits. I'm Captain Obvious. Yes, our spirits were dead because we died the moment Adam ate of the fruit of the tree, rather. As a result of our sin nature, we were born spiritually dead. It would happen. Well, as a result of that, we incurred the wrath of God. So you see the progression. We sinned. We were dead spiritually. As a result, no one escapes that. And as a result, we were born spiritually dead. And now as a result of that, we are incurring the wrath of God. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Lord, if we can meditate on the bad news, then the good news gets gooder and gooder. Mm-hmm. Gotta understand the bad. See it as bad. Did I say John 3:36?
No.
Sorry. John 3:36. Y'all supposed to have the Holy Ghost. You just supposed to just know what I'm going to say. Am I right, Miss Shirley? You supposed to just know it. He's going to, I need that. Oh, pray for me. My son looked at me like, I don't know about that one. John 3:36. All right. Jesus speaking, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. See that? See, that's the removal of where we once were when you believe in the Son. Amen. See, that's when you teach, when you give the gospel. There's many ways to give it. You can read that verse. He believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, eternal life, but the wrath of God abides on him. What a scary statement. Abides means to live in, to take up residence in, is a permanent dwelling place. That was you, that was me, that was us, BC, before Christ. Where's the works righteousness? You're dead. How? Makes me wonder about Arminians. Like, what is going on? It's my mom, so I want to, every time she calls, I want to make sure I jump on this. So thank you. The wrath of God abides on him. Can we, dead and trespassing, can you see there's no, when you minister, I've told many, many times, I've told Miss Cheryl, I said, her assignment, it's a rough assignment when you've been, she's a prophetess to her family. And I got that line from Jeremiah. He said, I've made you a prophet to the nations. He's made her a prophetess to her family. That's a rough assignment. Amen. It's a rough assignment. You have strong personalities. They express themselves. But when God gives you that assignment, he equips you for it. Amen. Never said it'll be easy. You've never heard me say that. And the reason I stress that is so that you don't get discouraged, because it is difficult. He could have told you to go to some strangers, some workers, some this, do that. Now, that's a lot easier. But family? Oh, my goodness. Is that right? Man. When you are teaching anyone, especially family, there's nothing you can do to remove yourself from the sin, eternally dead column to the righteous, eternally alive God. There's nothing you can do, I can do, we can do. There's nothing any human being can do. And that's where the verse comes in. Can an Ethiopian change his skin? Can a leopard change his spots? No. Neither can we suddenly raise ourselves from death unto eternal life. It's impossible. There's no amount of works. Exactly. If you think of it, this is so clear, it's so clear, but because it makes God, because see, what's tied to that is election. That's what this thought, no, that's not fair. God got to have everybody a chance. You got to have election, this, that, and the other. No, he don't have to do none of that. The wages of sin is death. If he is just, if he killed everybody and walked on off somewhere, he would not be unjust in doing so. Why? Because the payment, your Friday night just got paid paycheck for sin, is death. Period. Physical and eternal. It's God who chooses. Lord, help us to understand it. As soon as Adam ate, it could have been like, I'm done. I'm going to let all this just play out. I'm just going to sit it. Just done. In his mercy. See, now grace can become more amazing now. Because why did he do that? Because he simply chose to do it.
Thank you, Lord.
We didn't convince him. How does the dead convince him? You don't do stuff when you're dead.
Nope.
All he saw was dead people. He just, when he looked, if you, this is kind of a bad example, but when he saw the future, everyone was dead. And he chose to send his son to give his life for some. He didn't have to even do that. Because the news is just that bad. Sin is just that egregious. It's just that horrible. It wiped out the entire race. Even the ground was cursed. The air. All of that is because of sin. Storms and stuff in the air you breathe is killing you. All of that is because of sin. Even the very air, the physical earth is suffering. Romans 8, that all creation is groaning, it says, because of sin, awaiting the redemption. We're groaning right with them in these broken down bodies, awaiting the redemption of our bodies. I can't wait. But we incurred the wrath of God. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans 1:18 as we get ready to close. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God. What is revealed from heaven? The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. All of it. Slide over Romans chapter 5. Slide over to Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Four chapters over. Romans 5, verse 9. Up and down when you get it, please. Much more than, having been justified by his blood, thank you, Jesus, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Praise God. From whom all blessings flow. Is that not a beautiful evangelistic scripture? Amen. Hey, cousin. Hey, nephew. Person on the street. Look at this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at verse 10. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. All right. Got it? And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescued us from the wrath to come. Someone once said, because of our sin, we have fallen under the condemnation and judgment of God, our Creator. And that he is bound by his own holy and righteous character to preserve the integrity, the honor, and the glory of his holy and righteous character. How? By pouring out eternal wrath on our sins. Because if God doesn't do that, then he's not holy. That's what we don't get. We don't understand the sinfulness of man and sinfulness of sin and the holiness of God. That's what we don't get. Oh, that ain't so bad. That's our default is, let it go. I mean, it wasn't nothing but a little something, you know. It's just a mistake. When you sin, it's not a mistake. It's a choice that you did on purpose. It's deliberate. And you see how sinful sin is, that it completely separated us from God eternally. But he decided, I'm getting ahead of myself, to send a Savior. One more and we're done. He rescued us. As a result of our sin nature, we were dead spiritually. We incurred the wrath of God. And we were by nature children of wrath, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. By nature, children of wrath. Ephesians 2, verse 3. Among whom we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh. We did, all of us. Indulging the desires of our flesh and of the mind. And were by nature children of wrath. Look at this. Even as the rest, or as we would say in the hood, just like everybody else. Even as the rest. He didn't say even as some. No, the rest of everybody. Because all mankind sin. Remember that. And we already went over this. And find the payment for sin is eternal death. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, physical and eternally. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We'll stop there and we'll continue the bad news. What? There's more bad news? Yes, next week. There's more bad news.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Father God, thank you for the bad news. Because it helps us, I'm hoping that it helps us to appreciate the good news. That it puts the amazing back in grace. That it deepens our appreciation and gratitude for your mercy and your compassion and your kindness. Because, Father, you're so merciful, you're so kind, you're so gracious toward us that we take it for granted. As if you owe it to us. No, you're just eternally kind and you're eternally gracious and you're eternally merciful and you're eternally gracious. And for that, we are eternally and forever grateful. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your saving grace. Thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, on the cross of Calvary. Wow. We owe you everything.
Everything.
We owe you everything. In Jesus' name, amen.